Too often, migrants disappear without a trace, without witnesses, without memory. On August 14th, 2023, a group of castaways headed to the European Union were found drifting in the Atlantic Ocean. The voyage from the struggling Senegalese fishing town of Fos Bouy to Spain's Canary Islands was supposed to take a week. But more than a month later, the wooden boat carrying 100 men and boys was getting blown further and further away from its intended destination. They were 100 miles northeast of Cape Verde, the last cluster of islands in the eastern central Atlantic Ocean, before the vast nothingness that separates West Africa from the Caribbean. For 38 men and boys, it was salvation. For the other 63, it was too late.
36 days is really the story of what happens to people lost in the Atlantic who survive, which are very few.
That's AP journalist Renata Brito.
From all my years reporting on this migration route, I've never heard of a group that survived 36 days. The most I had heard of until this case was 22 days, and only three people had survived out of 63. The issue here was that they got a lot of headwind, which is very natural in this route. You can start your trip with good weather, and in the same day or a day or two, it changes completely. So that's very dangerous. And in their case, they got a lot of headwind. They were very heavy, and they didn't make it.
When their fuel ran out, they began to drift backwards and out to the open ocean. AP journalist Felipe Dana continues the story.
They were actually very close to Spain, but where they were found was actually pretty far back. You have to realize that they planned for a 7-day trip. If something goes wrong, maybe they have a couple of extra days. They had, you know, water and some food, but no one plans for 36 days on the sea, especially in a boat like that, especially 101 already in an overweight boat. A lot of it was trying to understand how they survived so long.
I think one of the most striking things for me was finding out that so many people hadn't died of thirst and hunger, but rather they had jumped into the ocean, many hallucinating that they could swim to shore, but then just drowned in front of the others who were still on the boat. There was another instance where survivors told us the captain was tied up and died after a few days being tied up. Likely he was also hallucinating, and some people on board thought he was possessed or was a sorcerer. There's a strong belief in witchcraft in West Africa that when you're on these boats and people start losing their minds and doing things that don't make sense, others may see that as a sign of witchcraft and try to contain them by tying them up.
There was not one clear answer of how actually they all survived, to be honest. You know, they mixed seawater with other things, with coffee, with sugar, with a little bit of a regular water. But it is really a miracle that so many survived. But they were in very bad shape when they were found. So we don't know how long they would, if they would last much longer.
Some people died right after they were found. The fishing vessel that found them was surprised because they told them this is not an area where vessels usually come through. I spoke to one of the people on the boat that found them who told me he couldn't believe it because they were so far out. He's from Senegal as well. When he first saw the boat, he's like, no, a Senegalese boat here? It's impossible. It's too far. And it was.
The rescued people were taken to the closest port, Palmyra, on the island of Sal.
So we went to Cape Verde and we saw all of the survivors, or almost all of the survivors, because they were kept in a public school turned shelter. They were locked up there, actually. So we did meet all of them, but then we weren't able to interview them properly in Cape Verde. So once they were back in Senegal, we met them there again.
Some of them were afraid to go back to their hometowns. Some of them were not in good health. They all had this very weird feeling of, I survived, but at the same time, I lost so much, and I'm back at square one, or even less than when I started.
Many of the migrants were family, were friends, were brothers, cousins from the same village or the same region. You know, they saw their loved ones die. They saw their brothers, their neighbors, their friends die in front of them, and they survived. And they would have to explain that to their families. And that's very difficult. And then add to that the fact that, you know, they were rescued, yes, but they weren't rescued and taken to Spain. They were rescued and taken back to where they started. They're back at square one, where there's no jobs, where they can't make a living, where their families have invested or helped them to try and make it to Europe. And, you know, the needs they have are still very much there. The amount of young Senegalese who left Senegal this year to Spain on boats is huge. More than 35,000 people arrived by boat to the Canary Islands, not only from Senegal, but the majority from Senegal. These young men, some are boys, are seeing their friends, are seeing others making it to Spain. And so they also want to try for a better life. They feel there's no hope for them in Senegal. They feel there's no jobs, there's no future. That's why a lot of them are willing, if they have the opportunity, they're willing to risk it again. Senegal, while it's not a country affected by conflict like other neighboring countries in the region, it has been affected by rising food prices, unemployment, and most recently, political instability. And of course, climate change only makes everything worse because agriculture is really difficult. Also, you have overfishing that's been happening for years in that region and in the West African coast. Large industrial fishing vessels from Europe, China, and Russia come in and take away most of their resources. And the local fishermen who have smaller boats, less access to the technology and fishing methods of these industrial vessels, they tell us there are no fish left in the ocean for us. When we go out, we come back with empty nets, and we can't make a living like that anymore. So on this particular boat, the majority of them were fishermen, and the majority told us they couldn't make a living as they could a few years ago because of overfishing from foreign vessels.
With their livelihoods at stake, the fishermen continue to take desperate measures despite the risks. While accurate figures on the number of deaths do not exist, entire boats have gone missing in the Atlantic, becoming what are known as invisible shipwrecks.
Even shipwrecks near the coast of Senegal are not all recorded and investigated. So there is a real issue of lack of information and lack of data. We know hundreds have gone missing, but that's likely an undercount. The International Organization for Migration admits that it's very difficult to get accurate stats on missing people and boats that depart. They have some numbers, but they're incomplete. So it's really hard to tell how many of the boats that leave make it.
This has been the story behind the AP story. I'm Jaime Holguin. For more on 36 Days, visit apnews.com.